I just have to say, it's so great to be back with family this morning. I have missed you guys so much. I wanted to be here last week. We were in New Orleans, but, you know, God, it's just amazing what God does and the people that you meet. And I wanted to share something with you guys real quick about, I guess it was, Alexis is nine, so it was 9 years ago. I was working then. We lived in Florida at that time. And so I was traveling a lot with my work, and I went to Canada, and I met this guy who was the vice president of a company called Siemens, which is a big company. And I sat down at dinner with him, and it was a whole huge group of us all there for a trade show. And he got to talking, and he was from, I believe it was Sparkman, Arkansas. And so he had traveled from Sparkman, Arkansas, where he grew up, and his life had taken him through. He'd become this really, really successful man in corporate America, and he started out in Arkansas, and he was talking about all the great things he learned from growing up in a small town in Arkansas and all the values and all the things that he took with him from that. And then this past weekend, it was longer than a weekend, but we were there through the weekend in New Orleans, and it got cut a little bit short with the hurricane and everything coming in. They were even having to dismiss schools there and things. But before we left, the speaker that came, it was a real estate conference, and the speaker that came was from Los Angeles, California. And she got up there and she spoke and through the different sessions. But then halfway through, she mentioned, you know, she was talking about what all she had done, all these amazing accomplishments in her life. And she said, you know, she said, as she spoke about how she got to where she was, she said, and I started out in Arkansas. Is anybody here at this conference from Arkansas? Raise your hand. And she was like, raise your hand proudly. And there was two people, you know, from Arkansas. And so I just want to say, it is amazing how God puts things in front of you and people in front of you. I cannot tell you how many times, and we see it. So God brings so many amazing people out of Arkansas. And I just think that what it is, and I feel it when I'm here, when I'm home with you, you feel it when you're here, when you're not here. It is such just a family environment, just such a warm feeling. And I think it really radiates. I know there are so many people that travel, so many people I've met, and it's just this humble, just family feeling. And that's like, as Doris and Tamika, just every time I'm around them, it's just, they are just family. And I think that is a great thing that God puts in people. So I just want to encourage you, as you go forward in the things that God has you to do, you may have dreams or expectations or things you want to do. God brings some amazing people out of Arkansas. So it is just, go for those dreams and things. And this morning, as I was watching and preparing this week, this video that we played at the beginning of service by King and Country, it is just amazing, amazing video. As you watch it and as you see it and you look at the video that they're watching as they sing it, and they're singing, God, just forgive us. God, forgive us for what we're doing to our world and in our world. And, you know, it is just such a humbling thing to watch this week as the hurricane happened and as things were going on through Facebook and through YouTube and through other things. Just amazing people. I think some of you may have even shared the link, but just all of these people banding together. It didn't matter what age, race, religion, where they were from. And, you know, when a tragedy happens, whether it be a hurricane, a storm, a personal tragedy in life, and you wonder, how could this happen? You hear people in the world saying, how could God let this happen? But look at what comes out of it. Some of the things that were shared with what is going on in our media today, pitting group against group, culture against culture, race against race, it is so evident in the media. I love what one person said. They said, the media can speak all the negativity they want, but these pictures will show what our country is really about. And it showed just picture after picture of people loving and helping each other. So I just want to encourage you, and I thought this was another great thing, through showing those pictures and the different things that I was watching, it showed true America, true people loving and helping each other. How many times do we see in the majority of our media only negativity? Only negativity. That is what they want to show the world. And how many of you know that the enemy is real and he will use whatever outlet he can use to spread the negativity? And I was so glad to see all of the positivity coming out of it. People were just being honest and they were just saying, I'm sick of the negativity. We're going to show what real people do in real situations. We're going to show how real neighbors help real neighbors. Some of the videos were so heartwarming and touching. Some were so funny. You saw every aspect of human life and what life is really about. And I tell you, it really made me pause to think, how much of what we're hearing is really real, or how much is it just media hype? Because, see, I know the people in this church, and I know the people in Camden Church, and I know a lot of people in this community, and they have big hearts, wonderful hearts. And I know it's not just this community. It's all over America. And I think as we spread the positivity and the message of God and the message of what we're doing, because people are attracted to light, not dark. People want the positivity. They want to know that they're loved by their neighbor. They want to know really what God is trying to tell the world. And so I was so glad to see this week through this tragic situation. What can come out of that? What is coming out of it? Because as you guys all know, the last couple of years, it has just been attack, attack, attack on different groups in the media here or there. And, you know, and there are people in this world who do horrible, horrible things. And I think it is important that we're aware of that and we pray against that and we pray against those things that are going on in our community. And I think it is great that we do have that to know what's going on, to know what to pray for. But at the same time, as we are praying for those things in our world that are real, that are there, that are evil, that we don't want to see, but they're there. I think as we pray for those things, though, we do not let it infill us with a hatred for our fellow person that we're with. I think it's important that we take what we see, we know what it is, and we pray against it, while at the same time, we spread as much of a positive, loving message that we can, because God is love. And ultimately, that is what is going to bring those lost people and those people filled with rage and hatred in, is the love of God and the love that they see through us. So it was just amazing this week just to watch that as I was preparing, you know, and I was praying and going through the message, and I knew what I wanted to speak about. But back to that song, when I saw this song by King & Country, and they were singing it, and they talked about just, God, we're a slave to uncertainty, and forgive us for our disbelief. You know, uncertainty, and that's what God just put on my heart, as this message is about uncertainty and disbelief. And I think one of the biggest things that stops us from doing what God wants us to do is fear. And the evidence of that fear is uncertainty. How many people out there at some point in their life have been uncertain about something with themselves, about something that God has called them to do, about a relationship, about a decision? I think everyone in this room has been uncertain at some point about something in their life. And it really can be an enslaving thing. That fear that overtakes you, that manifests itself in uncertainty and doubt. And a lot of the times that's uncertainty and doubt in ourselves and in what God has put in us. And disbelief, you know, as I went forward, when you think of disbelief and you hear that in relation to God, you think of the lost, you think of people who don't know God, who don't believe in God. But it's so much deeper than that, because even for those of us who know God, believe in what He is doing, oftentimes the enemy comes in and says, you know what, you can't do it. It's a disbelief in our ability and our allowing of God to use us to do things. And those are the two areas that the enemy really attacks, uncertainty. And if he can't get you with uncertainty, if you can push back past that uncertainty, he gets you with disbelief. Disbelief in your neighbor, disbelief in the intentions of people, disbelief in yourself, in your pastors, in your church, even in family and the people who love you. And it is so easy in this world that we live in today, with all of the bad things and the negativity, to disbelieve in things, disbelief in good and hope. It's so easy for the enemy to do that to us, because unfortunately it's real and it happens. And the things that we see and hear and deal with in life are very real. But the only hope that we have to overcome those areas in our life is through the power of God. You know, it's just amazing to watch and to see what people do and how people respond in times of tragedy. I think a lot of times most people, you will see the best come out in those people. Most of the time, that's what you will see. But how amazing would it be if it wasn't just in times of tragedy? If it was in our everyday life going forward to reach more and more and more people for God? And how amazing would it be if that was our response? So as I was getting ready, and as I was thinking about just uncertainty and disbelief and just what a broad range that is, it can mean so many things in our life. It's funny how God gave me one scripture. And usually, you know, as pastors, you find quite a few scriptures and you reference the scriptures, but God gave me one scripture and seeing it in a way that I've never really broke it down and saw it before. So Joe, can we put that up? It's Mark 24:11, I believe. Is that? I think that's what it is. Mark 24:11. And this scripture just, you know, you read the Bible, you see the scripture, and God showed it to me in a different way and a covering of all of those areas, no matter what area of doubt, disbelief, disbelief in what God is trying to do, or disbelief in the person, your neighbor, your friend, your coworker. This scripture really covers all those things. Okay. Matthew 24:11. Let's see. I have it right in here in my notes. I have Mark 11:24. I'm sorry. Mark 11:24. Okay. All right. So I have Mark 11:24. And it's a scripture, and it's what God tells us about believing. Believing in those times of uncertainty, doubt. It says, therefore I say unto you, whatsoever you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive it and you shall have it. Okay, so we've seen that scripture, we've used that scripture a million times, but if you look there, it says, therefore I say to you, what things you ask for when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them. See, you have to believe before you receive. And if you believe before you receive, that is when God promises you. We know the word of God is his promise to us. It is what is on this earth with us that gives us a window into God and how he operates and how he works. It's not just a book, but it's a promise and it's a belief. So let's look at it again. It says, therefore I say unto you, whatever thing you ask for when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them. That's not a question. That's a definite. That's boldness. That's telling you, okay, this is what you need to do for this. So to me, when I see that, when it is that bold and that definite, and it's a promise from God, you know that in those times of uncertainty and doubt and disbelief, that is a scripture you can hold on to and say, God, I know what this looks like. I know what's going on in this world around me, and it's real and it's horrible. And God, I just want to do something about it. God, I want to be a part, but what can I do? And you're feeling that doubt in your ability to be able to do that. And God gives you this scripture. And he says, when you pray, when you're praying about what can I do to make a change in my family, in the world, in what I'm going through, it says, when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them. So as you pray, don't pray in an asking, pray in a believing. Pray in a way that says, I believe in what I am praying for, and I know it will be done, and you will receive that thing that you are praying for. Because as we go forward in this world, and as more and more and more time passes, we are going to have a stronger assurity, a stronger boldness. We're going to have that push through mentality of knowing before we do it that it is already done, because we are backed by God, we're backed by Jesus, and what we are doing is to go forward through him. As I listened to that song, and as I was praying this week, and God kind of gave me that song, and anytime I hear something, a message that's not directly out of the Bible or a song that's not out of the Bible, I always look back to the Bible for references and scriptures and things like that. And you know, as that song was playing and he talks about God forgive us, and it shows all the pictures of the war and destructions and different groups rioting and everything in our world that has been going on the last couple of years that we've watched in the media and the news. It was like in that moment I saw God in that song, and it's amazing what God can use. And I just saw everything that we had been going through, everything that they were singing about. They were saying, God forgive me. God, forgive me. Now, were they apart? Did they do that? No. But they were saying, God, just forgive us. We remember in the Bible where Jesus is hanging on the cross and he says, God, forgive them, for they know not what they do. We can pray, God, just forgive us. God, forgive us. Doesn't mean you're doing wrong. It doesn't mean you're doing wrong. It's just saying, God, forgive us. Forgive us, for we know not what we do. Forgive us, for we know not where the actions that people take are leading down a certain road. We should pray for forgiveness for ourselves, but we should also pray forgiveness for the world around us, for the lost who don't know how to pray forgiveness. We have to intercede into the things that are going on around us, because if we can't directly fight and combat it through prayer and positivity, we pray and God combats it for us. God combats what's going on around us. And so as they go on to sing through that song, and they just talk about the division. It doesn't matter if you're rich, poor, black, or white. To God, it does not matter. And I think a lot of those areas through rich, poor, black, white, police, non-police, authority, you can see the enemy in every area attacking our world, giving people the wrong message about what God is. And we know as Christians, God is our ultimate authority. And there is no, it is God's way is the right way. So as we see these things happening in our world on both sides of every situation, there are right and there are wrong. The enemy will always use those. And they are not always evil people. A lot of times they're weak people. They're weak because they don't have the strength and the power of God. And they don't even know that they're being used by the enemy. And that's why we have to intercede and pray for them. Because as Christians, I know, in my personal life, I can say this. Just because you're a Christian does not mean, and you all know, and Cricket said it a million times, that you're going to have an easy road. As a matter of fact, it's a hard road sometimes. And you can gain so much when you break through areas and strongholds in your life, but along the way, you can lose so much. Now, you can lose friends, you can lose family, you can lose what looks like heavy, heavy blows in your life. But I promise you this, God will restore and infill you, even if those relationships are lost and gone. God will be the one to feel that in your life. You know, it's amazing to see. I have a brother who is in the military. He's in Africa right now. And at different times that we have had different wars in recent years, and you see soldiers, men, women, nurses, go overseas and go to other places, and they lose their life doing it. And, you know, it's just, it's tragic for the loss, for the families, for the people, but you see them do this amazing thing. They give their life for what they believe in, God and country, you know, and that is just so profound. So I think about in life, and I think about what is a sacrifice. What sacrifice are we willing to make in our lives to make sure that people around us are saved, that people around us are going to heaven, that people around us' lives are changed? What sacrifice are we willing to make for that? Because with everything in life, with every step you make forward, positively or negatively, there is going to be a price. And I've spoke on this before. It was a couple of months ago on a Wednesday night. It was something I had heard, and we had been talking about it for a while. Everyone in this room, we will all, it's inevitable, it's going to happen. Everyone in this room is going to pay prices in life. Now, you can pay a price for God, for what you know is good and right, or you can pay a price by following the enemy and what he's doing in your life. So if you are going to pay a price, man, I know for me, the price I would pay, it will only be for God. I know Cricket and I were talking about this week with our girls, you know, and watching them grow up and watching kids grow up, which I think most everybody in here has kids, so you know, but watching kids grow up is such an amazing process, because you see them, even when they're small, you see them develop and grow, but then you start seeing when they get about school age and they get that age of social interaction, it's like watching how an adult even walks through life. What I mean by that is you watch the innocence of the child as they're young and they start developing these relationships. Good relationships that are good in their life, and sometimes they have meet little friends or in their school environment that hurt their feelings or speak negativity into their life. But you kind of get to watch what God does, and praise God for those children in this world. You know, we have to pray for every child in every situation, because you don't know what children are growing up in. And especially today, you don't know what children are growing up in. You cannot any longer say, because we have so many people say, well, they're growing up in a Christian home, they're not growing up in a Christian home, but I have seen and know and experienced, just because you say a child is growing up in a Christian home does not mean they're covered and safe. It does not mean things are not happening in that home. And just because the child is growing up in an environment that necessarily looks okay doesn't mean that it is. And so we have to constantly just be aware and pray and be vigil over that. But it's so, back to what I was saying, it's so amazing to see as they grow and they change and they evolve how they respond to things. And so many adults, mostly parents, but there are teachers, church staff, pastors, children's pastors, who pour into their life. And we were, Cricket and I were talking about this week, how amazing it is to see something that Alexis, let's say our oldest, has learned in church, or a scripture that she has learned, and there's something that happens at school or in life, and she remembers what Pastor Jason or Nicole, or she's learned at home or from some of you, and she uses that in everyday life. Now, does she quote the scripture? No, not all the time. But see, it is in her. So when she reacts out of that, whether it be in love or compassion or whatever it is, it's because what God has put in her through the Word. And this last year, the Awanas program here, it was the first year we've done it here, was so amazing. I know there were several kids from her school here in El Dorado who came in, and in particular, there was a couple of kids who their parents were going through a divorce at the same time they were coming through the Awanas program. And they were a little bit older, so it was at any age that's hard. But as the kids get older and older, closer to those teenage years, and especially if it is a bad situation, it just, man, just to watch how it affects them. But they came in to the Awanas program, and they just started receiving words and receiving different things over their life. Certain people knew what was going on in their life, so they were just speaking into their life. They were just loving on them, giving them kindness. The kids all kind of just rallied around them. And it was so amazing to see. Because it was amazing to see people in this church, adults, just gather around them and be compassionate. But it was amazing to watch the kids, because the kids, they didn't have the scripture and they didn't have the answer. All they had was to love and make sure that they knew they were loved, that they were having a good time, and in the process they were learning their scripture. See, I love to watch the kids, because that innocence of childhood, man, we can learn so much from that. They don't have to. Now, it is very important to know your word and know your scripture so that you can fight the enemy. But man, it is so impactful to see kids just live it. They just live it through their life. They just live it through their everyday life. Whether they are a light in someone's life, they say something. We always joke about, man, kids can just say the craziest things. And they're so honest, and they don't even know they're being honest sometimes. You know, the other day it was so funny. Cricket was driving and going back and forth for service, and he came home one night, and that morning he was tired, and, you know, he wasn't really talking much. And he is a morning person, let me tell you. Always up, peppy, hyper, talking, and we're all like, no. So he was not his up, jokey, picking on you usual morning self. And Haley is in that aspect a lot like her daddy, but she comes in and she's all ready to go, getting ready for school and everything, and he's kind of tired, and and so she comes in and says, "Daddy, what's wrong?" And he says, "I'm just tired, baby. Daddy, you're not having a good attitude." He said, "What?" She said, "You're not having a good attitude. I'm going to school today. I'm not going to see you, and you're not having a good attitude." And so immediately it's like, you know, and you're like, okay, you know, and you joke and you play with them. But kids just, they know. They just say it. And how amazing is that? It is so funny to watch it. And so back to what I was saying, through times of tragedy and through times of things going on. I was mentioning the different things I had seen, but to just watch how, you know, kids respond to it with other kids, even with animals, just with different, it's just amazing to see God in so many ways. And it's like you can see God try and break through in all of these situations. You see God breaking out when people don't even know it's God. People talk about the kindness and the goodness of people. What they're really seeing is God at work. But see, the world does not know that's what they're seeing. The world wants it. They want it. And they don't even know what it is. It's God. So I just want to encourage you. We've been talking about destiny, and this is a year to go forward and change things. People want it. They don't know what it is that they want. And so it's our job to show them, my job, your job, everyone's job, to show them what you're wanting is God. You just don't know it yet. And I'm going to show you, not just tell you, but I'm going to show you what it is that you want. And so I want to speak back to the uncertainty and the doubt in our life. I know for me, it took personally, which most of you in this room know, but there are some that don't. It took depression and almost tragedy in my life. It took the loss of core relationships in my life. And seeing things, you can know something, but to see the truth for what it is a different thing. And a lot of times when God tells you, you have to give up this relationship or this thing in your life because it will only harm you. It is not good for you. And this is not, when you say that a lot of times you think drugs, alcohol, blatant things that aren't good in your life, but it's not always that. See, there are toxic relationships in your life that can speak negativity and hurt you and bring you to places that you never imagined you could be brought. And so it took a cutting away of some things in my life that should have been a long time ago for me to really be able to be set free in what God had for my life, and I didn't even know it. A lot of times what we look at and what the world and even the church says is blatant sin, we can go as Christians and say, well, we don't do this, so we should be okay, but it's not true. See, there are things implanted in your life that you don't even know. Maybe it is even a relationship that is not healthy for you. And just because you have to get that relationship out of your life does not make you a bad person. Don't let the enemy or people tell you, make you feel guilty about that. If somebody is hurting you or really just destroying you, if they're deteriorating the very core of what you are, do not feel guilty from stepping back from that relationship and then praying for them and allowing God to do the work to change them. Because God, anything is possible with God. But you really, in order to really get at the heart of fear, uncertainty, and doubt, you have to, whether it be within yourself, through the Word, whether it be through relationships, you have to push that thing that is the enemy is using. You have to push it as far from yourself as you can until the time in which God brings it back. There's a scripture in the Bible that talks about, do not return to them, let them return to you. If you have to walk away from a situation or a relationship in your life, remember that scripture. Don't return back to the same old thing you've always done, the same old relationship you've always been in. Remember the scripture that says, and I will get that scripture because I cannot think of it right now for anything, but there is a scripture, and I'll get it for if you want it, that says, do not return to them, let them return to you, because God may need to do a work in them before it is safe for them to return to you and for you to return to that relationship. And do not let the enemy make you feel guilty about that. I said this a couple years ago, and I've talked about this since. You know, when a few years ago I went through a major, major deep depression out of nowhere, just out of the blue, or so I said and so I thought, through the process of speaking with people around me that were professionals in the area, and through a lot of prayer, I realized, you know what, it wasn't out of the blue. But how much in our life can we think things are good? Can we think things are okay? Can we just be trying to live our life and push forward? And the enemy is steadily chipping away, chipping away, chipping away, chipping away, chipping away. Nothing comes on you out of the blue. It will creep up. It will sneak in. You can be doing what you know to do and what you believe is right, living for God. And the enemy will try any door he can to get into your life. And a lot of those doors will start with this very thing, uncertainty and disbelief. Everything starts with a question. Cricket preached a few weeks ago about what was the first thing the snake in the garden did. He asked a question. He put in a doubt. He put in a question about what God had told them. Well, did God not say this? If there are questions or doubts or fears in your life, I encourage you just take them to God. Because what starts off is a little bit of uncertainty about maybe in your life or you or your destiny. The enemy will take whatever door he can and run with that thing as fast as he can. And for me, mine took years and years and years and years and years to build. And I believe that was only because I had God in my life and I was fighting that thing subconsciously and didn't even know it through just being in the presence of God, reading the Word, doing those things. Because I know that if I hadn't had God in my life, that I could have dealt with that thing horribly throughout my life. I know that if I didn't have God in my life, it would not have been just one episode of just great depression. And I want to encourage you, because we've had some calls come into the church. We've had people say, you know, get the word through other people. There are a lot of people, and not just here, that are dealing and struggling with depression. And what people are seeing and what people are talking about is it is not, this has just happened in their life and they're going through depression. It is depression that is coming back from years and years and years and years of repression. You know, you can go through a tragic situation like these people in Houston did, and it changed your life forever. It changed your life forever. The loss of a loved one, it will change your life forever. And then there are also those times when you're living life, and it's not one specific tragedy, but it's a lifetime of events that will manifest itself. And as you see the enemy work in our society, in our world, it comes through a lifetime and generational just hurt and hurt and hurt that has been poured into people. And the only hope they have is God. And the only way they're going to get God and get that hope is to come in contact with people who have been through things, lived through things, made it through things, and God has brought them through the other side, and now they're showing others the love. You know, I had a lot of great things in my childhood. I don't want to say I didn't. I was fortunate in a lot of ways. But I also, like many of you, there were hard, hard things. And you know, I made this vow, and we talk about inner vows through different ministries and through different things in the church. But I made this vow that I wasn't going to talk about childhood. What I was going to do is I was just going to make sure that I made changes in my life. I was just going to push forward. I was just going to get the education. I was just going to do this, 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 and all those things I did do. But everything I did do on that list did not really change what had happened. See, the lie that the enemy told me was, you don't talk about it. You just push forward and go do better with your life. Do better with this situation. Get yourself out of this bad situation. You'll be fine. And I believe that, and it worked. It worked for 33 years. But then what happened is, see, what God wanted to do, and the deeper and deeper, after Cricket and I got married, I got involved in ministry. See, the one thing that I wasn't taught and I wasn't raised in, even growing up in church at times, was share your testimony, share your ministry, because God can use that. See, God cannot use a testimony in a ministry that no one knows about. People can have a perception of you that is different than what really happened. It's different. People may not know where you came from or what you went through or what you're going through, because the enemy is trying to suppress and repress that. And I just encourage you, if God has brought you through anything in your life, God wants to use it as a testimony. And the biggest thing that the enemy was trying to do in my life, and I know that now, was suppress the testimony. He was trying to keep God from getting the glory. He was trying to keep God. Because, see, I got married to Cricket when I was 23. So I was young. He was 30. It was right out of college. And so you're just getting into that age of work and adulthood and all that kind of stuff. And I had been through things in my life up until that point. Come through, come out the other side. So I was living my life, going forward in the way I believed I should do it, praying, going to church. So Cricket and I got married very soon after college. And we started, and I've shared this too on Wednesday nights. So I was thrown into ministry. That's what he did. And you know, I had never seen church from the ministry side of church, which is the same, but it's different. It's very different dealing with it from that side, because I've dealt with it where I was one of many people in the congregation, but not the one person in the ministry. That's why it's so important. And Cricket has been, they've been doing the classes on call to ministry. If you have a call to ministry, get involved, because it does take so many. It's not just one. It takes so many. So I just want to encourage you, if you have a call to ministry, people need you. Answer that call. But back to what I was saying. So I come into ministry with not really an understanding. And as I got more of an understanding and I saw the different sides of ministry, the sides you don't see a lot. Some people call it politics. Some people call it work. Some people call it different things. It was hard for me. It was hard for me because it was a different view than I had seen being in church. And so as I prayed about it, I said, God, because see, I knew my childhood. I knew my life. I knew what I grew up in. I did not go to Bible college. I didn't grow up in a pastor's home. I didn't grow up in those situations. I grew up at times of life there were some very hard, hard things in my life. And so I looked at that, me knowing, no one else knowing, me knowing about these things, and said, I can't be a ministry. Now, I can support Cricket and love Cricket and be there 100% for him. And we had Alexis. And, you know, I can raise these kids and do what I know God's called me to do, but I can't do it because my story is not their story. You know, my story, like I did not know this, and this is a joke. I hope I don't offend, but like they were talking about Bible colleges, and some Bible colleges, girls just go to the Bible colleges to meet a man that's in ministry because she wants to marry a man that's in ministry. They call one, I don't remember the name of it, but it's like a joke within the ministry. And I thought, you know, okay, well, if that's what they want to do and they want to meet someone in ministry and that's their life, that's great. But I didn't go to Bible college. I don't know the to do's and not to do's, what to say, what not to say, how to be, not to be. I didn't know any of that. And so the enemy was playing that seed in, you can't do this. You're married to a pastor, but you have no clue how to minister to people. You weren't raised under it. If they only knew what all, you know, your childhood, your things, the different things in your life, there's no way that you can do this. Because see, I grew up Baptist, and I love Baptist, and I think it's great, and I learned so much from there. I got saved in the Baptist church. I mean, I just attribute to learning about God, learning the things of God there. So I love that church. But at the same time, I didn't know, at least where I went, there was not a lot of testimony sharing and a lot of God working in just a supernatural way. So I didn't understand. I thought you had to go to school. You had to, you know, there was an order to things. And if you didn't follow that order, you could not minister. So I didn't understand really how that worked. And so at different times, man, the enemy just really attacked with uncertainty and disbelief. Disbelief in what God had put in me. And what God had put in me to do, because I didn't understand how it worked. I didn't even know the basics that God wanted to get the glory for what had happened in my life, but I wasn't letting him do it because I felt I had to be bigger or stronger than what had happened. How many people in here, and it's kind of dark so I can't see you, how many people in here though, you can be comfortable, no one can see you, have said, the enemy has lied to them and said, you are not enough in your life. You're not enough. I mean, that was, I think, one of the biggest lies of my life, that you are not enough in situations and circumstances reinforce that. So I didn't even try. I didn't even try because I believed it for so long it had become a belief. So see, God had a lot to break off in my life and I didn't even know it. I was not even aware. I thought because I prayed and I had a true relationship with God and because God had delivered me out of so much and I was so great, I really had this personal relationship that I wasn't taught in church, but it was just there supernaturally. Naturally, I thought it was good. I was going in the right direction. So as the kids grew up, I was a stay-at-home mom. I even had times when the ministry was really first starting here in El Dorado. We were over at the mall. There was a group that said, you need to be doing this, 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 this as the pastor's wife. Well, I was 28, 27. I thought, well, first of all, I have no clue what to do, what you're telling me to do. I can Google it and research it, but I had no clue. Second of all, I had these two babies that were close in age, and it was about all I could do to, you know, raise them and be a stay-at-home mom in that area. And so all of this came on me, and what the enemy just said was, you can't do it. Don't even try. And you have two kids here who need you, so do this. And I knew God had called me at that time to be a stay-at-home mom and raise those kids, and I was so thankful because some moms don't have that. They're not able to, and my heart just goes out to them. But God had. So I said, okay. I said, ladies, God has called me to raise my children. That is what I'm doing right now. And I know God will bring in someone to do this. And it was true. That is what God had called me to. But it was also a fear in me that I couldn't do it anyway. I had no clue what I was doing. So I couldn't do it. So, but how many know that it's not us doing it anyway? It's God. People put an expectation on you and people to do something that God's got to do anyway. So if you can't do it, God's going to do it. And that's where the authenticity comes in. So I went on and was in ministries and prayed for people and had a heart for people and loved people. But Creed had started asking me every once in a while, speak here, do this, do that. I was like, no, you're crazy. I'm not doing that. No way. And so it was a back and forth thing, and Cricket kept kind of pushing in that area because, see, Cricket knew a little bit about my life and history and what we call our testimony, what we grew up in, but even he didn't know the full scope of everything. So he knew there was something, there was a testimony there that God was trying to use, but it would not come out, and I fought it with everything, with I am just going to keep persevering and doing and helping and reaching. But how many know God wants to use what you've been through? And until you get to a place where God can use it, you will never reach what God fully has for you. So I shared a couple years ago that before I went through this Great Depression in this time, and there were those in my life who took the vulnerability of the weakest place I had ever been in my life and took that time to try and implant and just use a dagger and instill division. I tell you, go through a tragedy, go through something hard in your life. And when you're going through something hard, those that attack you and try to destroy you, you have to get away from that. And I'll tell you that because God will bring you through it. God will bring you through it and deliver you out. But during that season that you're in it, you need to learn something from it because God reveals himself during the time that you're the weakest. You may can't handle it in the moment because you're just trying to survive. But when you come through it and God delivers you out of it, don't forget. Don't forget. And it's not a not forgetting to hold because you have to forgive and release that. What it is you're getting a little window into what God is trying to take out of your life and maybe fix in someone else's life. And so I know this. So as I went through that time, as I went through that Great Depression, as I physically, you know, lost the weight, went through the sickness, and then the division came in and the enemy and within our family and things, and I couldn't speak and was too weak to go forward during that season of a couple months. I tell you, it was just supernaturally God that delivered and brought me back out of that. And when I look back at that, and I've shared this before, I had prayed the 6 months before that happened when I was completely fine. I prayed, God, use me in a new way, God. Use me in a way that I can help other people. Because I just don't want to, I want to pray with people and I want to help people. But I want to be used by God in a way that I know that God is trying to reach someone and that can be helped. But I didn't know how to do that. I didn't know how to do it because I couldn't do it. I knew I couldn't do it. There was no way. But I knew God had to do it. But God said, and I think I have shared this before, I prayed that several times. And God had said in me, okay, finally, after the millionth time I had prayed, because sometimes God does not answer you right away. God had said, okay, I will. But something is going to come before that. Because there has to be a breaking away. Sometimes God cannot use us until those things are off of us. Now, it doesn't have to be addiction. It doesn't have to be relationships. Sometimes it can just be what that song talked about. It can just be uncertainty and self-doubt. Because those little things can get so deep ingrained in you, it paralyzes you to do anything for anybody. Even for yourself. You know, I say this and I share this on a personal level, but God allowed me to gain so much through what I went through. But God knew that is in any battle, because that's what we had gone through, a battle, that there are casualties. And what looks like to the normal person, I lost a lot. I gained more than I lost, and it was for a purpose. And until I went through that time in my life, until I look back at those few months there, I saw God every step of the way, even though I couldn't hear God through it. I've shared sometimes you can't hear God or see God until you look back in retrospect of what you went through. And whether it be through suicide that God delivered you out of, and there is no reason that you should be here. You know, for me, I know this, that without God, I wouldn't be here. Isla wouldn't be here. And my kids would never be the same. My husband would never be the same. His ministry would never be the same. Thank you. Nothing would ever be the same. But knowing that, God showed me something out of that. Nothing's ever going to be the same anyway. In a good way, in a God way. Because you can't go through any tragedy like the people in Houston, like Miss Doris Tamika and their whole family. Like, you cannot go through any tragedy without God delivering something out of us. Out of us and using us, there will be something that comes out of every situation. And I tell you this, Cricket and I were talking on the ride down Friday night. It was kind of late. The kids were already asleep. We left after school. And he was talking about all the little detail ways that our lives are different now. And then all the big ways, the big changes. Because we are making changes in our life. We're doing things that God has called us to do in every little area of our life that some people don't understand. But it's part of a calling and a purpose and a thing that God has given for us, and God has given for this church to do, and things in our life, in this community and other communities, ways that God wants to reach, that God has given us. And we know no matter what people's opinion is, we have to listen to God. You have to listen to God in every area, whether it's your kids, you make this decision for your kids or this decision for your kids, or in work or in life, you have to listen to God. I spent my life believing what people told me about me. And when the enemy finds a weakness in you, he will stomp on that thing and stomp on that thing and use it your entire life. All he has to find, and he finds it when you're little. He finds it when you're innocent. And he takes it and he uses it throughout your life until something miraculous happens. And some people like me are hard-headed, so it takes a lot more to understand and really figure out what that is. But when you do, you're truly set free from it. So I just want to share with you, before we close here, we're going to play the video at the beginning in a minute. We're going to play here at the end. And the reason I wanted to use it as the opener and the close is, man, the words will be on the screen in it, but if you just listen to them and listen to just how powerful it is, it's like a song that is speaking to our whole nation. God, just forgive us. And I think of Jesus when he was hanging on the cross and saying, God, just forgive them, for they know not what they do. When a situation or a person in life has hurt you or destroyed you, remember Jesus. Say, God, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And I know I have a new passion in my life, and I'm going to speak personally for a minute here. I think after all of that happened to me, I found the ministry in life that God was trying to bring me to. And I think it encompasses a lot of areas, depression, suicide, different areas. I can't tell you the people that have come to me since then, here in Alabama, New Orleans, everywhere we travel, that have dealt with suicide or a loved one in suicide that has dealt with suicide. And the statistics are just skyrocketing on that in the next generation. But I tell you what God showed me, what my ministry was. And a lot of what your ministry is going to be, you'll find, is the thing you're passionate about, but it's also the thing you see the enemy do that you hate. And my thing that I see the enemy do in so many people's lives that I hate, because you can hate the enemy and love people, is to see people be used and exploited. Be used and exploited for whatever agenda that the enemy has or uses people to have. Why do I have that? Because it's a testimony. That, to me, and you to find yours, is the ministry that God has for my life. And I just want to pray with you now. If you guys want to come for the end, we're in just a minute, we're going to start a song. And we're going to start the same song that we started at the beginning. And wherever you are in your life, with uncertainties, doubt, disbelief, maybe people are speaking that into your life. Maybe you're speaking it in, the enemy is speaking it through you into your own life. Maybe your boss, your job, the world. Hopefully not any pastor or ministry, but even in that area, anyone in your life that is speaking negativities or uncertainties or doubt, we want to give you an opportunity to break that in your life today. There are areas of uncertainties, of doubts, of disbeliefs. You can do what God has called you to do. I tell you what, I could have never imagined going forward in areas that God is calling me to right now unless I had come through what I've come through. I've seen God. I've seen God deliver. I've seen God miraculously deliver from death, from destruction. I've seen these things. I know it's real. I know it's real. There are Christians, though, who have not experienced in their life. They have not experienced that Holy Spirit, that miraculous presence of God. But I believe God wants to show you that in your life. I believe He wants to start showing you that today in your life. That there are things in your life that the enemy has put in through any route that God wants to show you and God wants to reveal to you. And so if we have any of our prayer warriors here, Mr. Michael, anyone who wants to come along this front here, we are just going to close after this song. But I just encourage you, where you are, just pray, just cry out to God, come forward, just say, God, forgive me, God, forgive them, for they know not what they do, God, just deliver me from my uncertainty or my doubt or my disbelief. So if we can start that song, Joe, we are just going to praise and worship God during this time. Just freely, however you feel, to praise and seek the presence of God and worship God. If it's come to the altar, come to the altar. If it's on your knees, get on your knees. Do whatever it takes to get to God today. And we are going to end, and you will be dismissed after this.